Gandhi's often been credited with the quotation, "Be the change you want to see in the world." It's largely been discredited that he never said that, but he did say, "We but mirror the world. All the tendencies present in the outer world are to be found in the inner world of our body. If we could change ourselves, the tendencies of the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change towards him." Last week we talked about faith and that in adversity. Today we're going to build on that and talk about faith, hope, and action. And this is perhaps one of our best glimpses into the relationship between human and God, is how faith leads to optimism and then action for betterment. In Lamentations, the affirmation was, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." So why was hope needed? In Lamentations, the book was being written about 600 years before the birth of Christ, and it was being written in the middle of the fall of Jerusalem when they were being invaded by the Babylonian armies. So as you can imagine, hope was probably something that was pretty hard to come by in those times and in that place. This week in the reading of Mark, we've got two more extreme examples of challenges people faced. The woman with the severe illness and the parent facing the loss of a child. The interaction in both those examples can be examined through faith, hope, and action. Faith is largely on our part. The woman in the scripture reading had enough faith to believe that despite her long suffering, her prolonged illness, all she'd have to do was touch the clothing of Jesus to be healed. Her faith allowed her to step outside of societal norms at the time. Women weren't allowed to approach or speak or address issues in such a bold manner as what this woman had done. But she did it anyway. She didn't need anyone to intercede on her behalf. She approached God with faith in order to hopefully receive relief from her suffering. That being said, the scripture still indicates that she was scared about taking that leap of faith, which many of us have been many times over. In the second example, Jairus' daughter had actually passed before Christ showed up to help. There's an old slave song from the 19th century that said, "God may not come when you call him, but he'll be there right on time." This was a perfect example of that type of scenario. All Jesus asked was for belief. When he went into the girl's room, all he took with him was a small group of people. He had Peter, John, and James. I'd advise you not ever to doubt what a determined small amount of people can do in terms of changing the world, because that's the only thing that ever has. Out of faith grows hope. Now, hope's typically thought of in very elementary terms as something that we want or something we desire. The hope that we talk about, though, is a much deeper rooted hope. It's a hope that blossoms out of faith. The woman's long suffering and her hope to heal manifested when she had faith that there was a possibility that she could be healed. Through her faith, hope was born. Hope's a very funny thing. I'm reminded of an old retired gentleman who used to go to nursing homes, and he was an entertainer in his working days. He'd go to nursing homes, he'd play songs, tell jokes. He went to one particular nursing home, and he came across a very, very old woman, which wasn't uncommon, but this woman stuck out in his mind. So at the end of his performance, he went to the woman and he pulled her aside and he says, "I truly hope you get better." And she looked at him and says, "I hope you do too." We have to ground both our hope and our faith in God. Again, turning to the Hebrew text, "The Lord is my portion," says my soul. "Therefore, I will hope in Him." Once faith and hope are established, then we can have action. And there are two types of action born of faith and hope. There's the action of God, which is miraculous and a blessing to us. And then there's actions that we can take with the assistance and guidance of God. An example of God's action was when Jesus raised the young girl from the dead. That's something that's outside the scope of our power and ability. We can't do that. I can't lay hands on somebody and raise them from the dead. If I ever do, it's not me. It's God doing it through me. I have absolutely no contribution to it. The second type of action, however, requires an understanding. To understand it, it requires an understanding of our relationship with God. God created us to be co-creators. Yes, God made the universe, He made the earth, He made everything. He made all of us. But we also create, and that's through His enabling us to be able to do so. Each person is born because God created them. Each person is also born because they have parents. Every building that stands on the earth is here because of materials that God put here on the earth. But it's also here because humans were given the ability to create. We create architecture, roads, planes, all kinds of technological marvels, art, literature. That's what Paul was talking about in Corinthians. I've heard a lot of people twist the text in Corinthians and try to make it almost a fundraising scheme. Particularly in a lot of the televangelical circles. But that wasn't the kind of contribution that Paul was talking about, not necessarily monetarily. What Paul was talking about was our ability to receive our blessings from God and then contribute to His creation, to help Him move forward. That's what he was asking the Corinthians to do. Paul didn't want the Corinthians to do more than they were able, or to give more than they were able. Nor does God want us to do that. But He does want us to take action, to create, work together, serve each other, and make things better. You know, from this perspective, yes, we can't raise people from the dead, but we do have the intellect, the rationality, and the training to conduct CPR. We've got medical advancements that we use. We can dial 911 on cellular telephones from wherever we're standing. We can go and see doctors and specialists that have even more knowledge than we do. Our action with God's help reminds me of a story I'm sure you've all heard many times, but it bears repeating. there was a man who was a very faithful follower of God. He prayed daily, he attended church. But he heard on the radio that there was a flood coming and it was going to wash him away. He turned the radio off and he said, "I don't have anything to fear. I believe in God. I pray every day. I go to church. I'm a good man. God will save me." Sure enough, the flood came. Shortly thereafter, a friend of his came through in a rowboat and said, "Get in the boat with me. Come on. We got to get out of here. The house is going to flood. You'll be washed away." And said, "No. I'm a faithful man. I love God. I pray to God every day. God will save me." The water continued to rise. Finally, as he had to climb out on the roof of his house, a rescue helicopter came by. And they shouted down to him, "Come on, get in this basket. We'll raise you up. We'll save you." He said, "No, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm a faithful man. I pray to God every day. I go to church. I'm a good man. God will save me." Then he drowned. When he got to the gates of heaven, he demanded an audience with God. Turning to God, he said, "I was a good man. I prayed every day. I went to church. Yet you let me drown. Why? What happened?" God looked at him and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I gave you a radio message. I sent you a man in a rowboat and a rescue helicopter. You're supposed to be back there on earth." It's not just God. It's us as well. We have to take action. So, with that in mind, I hope you go into the week with faith, hope, and take action to do God's will.